The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got a spagat thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Them want poison me, throw me thing up. Pass me and them girlfriend a link up.
Hello.
Dog, where you did that when they think tough? No food, clean water for drink up. Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20 inch rim, just a spin up. The pioneer just a kicks up. And a hip hop or calypso.
Hello.
You can't see the star through the tint up.
The Wednesday, January 17th edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. And let me tell you, boy, let me be honest with you as we get into the new year. If you got back issues, address them. I kind of put mine off last year. Then I get in the new year, but it got me in the new year before I could get it. Now, you know, so I was laid up yesterday. I could hardly walk. Feel much, you know, thanks to modern medicine and you know, just, you know, hot tub, yeah, I'm done. But I got to get back to Dr. Russell and let her lay hands on me again. That's the only woman my wife will let lay hands on me. And yeah, snap, crackle, and pop it again. But feeling much better today, you know, and we got lots to talk about. We're going to go to Freeport today, too. We're supposed to go down there yesterday, but, you know, my Freeport people, they so good. They so understanding. They so patient. So I had to tell, you know, I had to tell Sarah, listen, man, time to put on that Pollyanna hat, man. We're going to do it today. And they are available today, so we will check in with Freeport, see what's going on with Sarah and with Darren. And then, of course, in the second hour, we'll be talking sports, right? So here's how you chime in all day, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259 in New Providence. Toll free in anyone in the Family Islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 9. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on. Fresh news, smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we'll be going to Grand Bahama, going to Freeport. Get caught up with everything that's going on down there in Grand Bahama, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, January 17th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatments, means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
play with island games.
We're paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Cause island games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
island games,
we're putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to play
island games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with island games.
On the Wednesday, January 17th edition of Talking Heads, and I get to the other text, but I got to get to this one real quick. Great show as usual. Naughty, you got back problems. You are Bahamian. Eat 2 Scotch Conk old fashioned 4 times a week, 3 Conk solid old fashioned, and 12 Collect Gold and extra cold, and back problems solved. Yeah, because you try kill me, I'll be comatose. 12 Collect Gold, you try to have me comatose for a couple months, eh? I'm go. Wait, what? How about 6 Gold? And let me try that. Let me know, text, if 6 Gold could wait. All right, let's get down there to Freeport. Sarah, Darren, how are you? I appreciate y'all chiming in today. I was hobbled yesterday.
Hi, Pollyanna, reporting here for you.
I was bent right over. I was in half like a fold-up ruler yesterday. I was, my what? But I feel much better today, and glad to hear from you guys. What's going on down there in Grand Bahama? Because I've been keeping my eye on things, and I'm hearing some good, hearing some bad, hearing some ugly. So what we got, Sarah?
Well, no, you need to share the good first.
But what's happening, Darren? But if you say get the good out of the way first, I mean, that's a trailer load of bad.
You say you're hearing the good. I just want you to tell me what the good that you're hearing.
Sometimes you have to be politically correct when you do an opening and an intro. So.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
And that's what I'm relying heavily on Sarah for, because you will find the good somewhere. There was a litter of potcake puppies rescued on the Queens Highway.
I got to get a new name, though. This Pollyanna.
No, man. Right, for me, boy. No. You know why I say that?
Name.
Because you always got the good spectacles on. You always got the glass half full, Sarah. I don't mean that in a bad way when I say that.
Come back.
I'll be going on to, we going into the second year doing this, man, or maybe. And now you want to change up Pollyanna? Look here, now you're starting to sound like a Karen. Hold on. You want Karen or Pollyanna?
Oh, Jesus, I have to say, I think I am so much a Karen sometimes that I hate to say it.
No denial whatsoever. Oh, boy, I tell you, I was trying. But anyway.
No, I know. I got too many other names. Well, I can't really. I'm going over the paper from yesterday, and unfortunately, the first story is the negative. It's the PharmaChem closure. It's just comments from people in the community about it. Everyone's, you know, all the staff there are not saying anything. I think, you know, they're more concerned about making sure they get their payments, which I would be worried about too. So I think they are keeping, mum about it, not aren't saying anything. It's a very hard thing for the island to go through. It's a lot of jobs to lose. Everyone forgets there's also residuals to that with contractors and other things, you know, rental cars, people that come in to visit. It affects everybody. And it's not the good news we need when we've had so much good coming in. With all the developments with Carnival and the shipyards, Accenture. So it's a bit of a punch to take at the beginning of the year.
A bit of a downer.
Yes, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm going to hopefully try and think positive. I don't know, can someone else buy the plant? Can they keep this going? I don't know, but I'm trying to be hopeful. And you know, they've built an amazing plant. I don't know why it's not working or what's not happening that it isn't being effective. So let's, you know, hope that someone can fix it. There are people out there that do things like that.
But is it financially, you know, beneficial to them to intervene and fix it and so on and so forth?
Or yeah, that's a very good question. You'd like to think so. You'd like to hope if you put that much investment in that equipment that something can come out of it. So I do hope so. I feel very much for the owner and the company. He is a brilliant man who has been very big in supporting Grand Bahama and always is sticking with it. I don't know, you know, what the whole picture is. I don't know what the bigger business picture is. I don't know if I do know, and I have heard it's not immigration or things like that, that people said, oh, it's their fault. It's, as far as I know, they haven't had any issues like that. I think purely it's competing in this global market. And, you know, maybe that the fact that they're on an island and they have to ship everything in, is it got to do with staff or their day-to-day work? Were they doing things? They went to a 24-hour shift system. I don't know. We have not heard much more, but it is very hard to hear of its closing on all accounts, you know?
Boy, Sarah, boy. That's a big web right there, though. I think that's going to be kind of thick.
Yeah. I think it is. So
Darren, have any...
Karen, what's your thoughts? What's
your take, Darren?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, Farmer Kim has been in Grand Bahama for over 20 years. I almost share the same sentiments that Sarah do share. You know, this company has, I know personally, of persons who have started at Farmer Kim, worked there for eight to 10 years. And because of a good salary and good paycheck, they've been able to venture out and start their own business. And so the company has its good rewards in being here. It has... definitely not just a company that ship out goods, but a company that supports so many other businesses locally. Even in communicating with GBPC, the power company, they also express in a conversation with them the fact that that closure pass on a cost from them to other consumers, that when your power bill was at its to the best that they could give it to you, now will increase because they're losing one of their main suppliers, one of their main customers. You know, and so any more companies and doors close, it continues to impact us, not just 100 unemployed, but the communities now that when Farmer Kemp may have been paying $100,000, you know where I got to go? I got to go now to us. So, you know, I am hopeful and hoping that a buyer could step in. I don't know if one is, or not, even if it's not a buyer, that the owners would be able to find a partner that would be able to come in and get the plan back up and running. I only could imagine, as a business owner, looking at the fact that this company just invested millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in a new plant, and now they're experiencing this blow with not even... comping, receiving back or getting back anything. So, you know, I'm one of them that you know, I think Farmer Kim may want to play nice ball and may not pass some of the responsibility on to some other key players that may have interfered. I don't know. I was hearing, Sarah, that, you know, one of their problems was immigration. If immigration wasn't the closure problem, clearly they had some immigration problems that may have, you know, created some delay in fulfilling whatever need. But it's sad for Grand Bahama, and we don't need any more delays or any more closures. We just need to continue to climb up. And the way the government's playing right now with investors and our city managers, we're not sure, you know, the state of the way forward for Grand Bahama.
Well, that's really sobering, you know.
Yeah.
When you hear Grand Bahamians have been there, such as yourself, for umpteen years, like I like to say, and I have no faith, no confidence in this getting done right with the dynamics that are in play. And I'm glad that's why we hear from you guys, because here in New Providence, we see it as we see it in the paper or as we hear it on the news, but we don't live it.
Yeah.
And to have something that was, you know, I had people call me and give me personal insight, similar to what Darren said. I sent 3 kids to school from working there.
Yeah.
I was getting paid well. No, it was a good living. I don't know why it ended up the way it ended up. So, you know, and that's something when you have a good job, you like to kind of count on that. You kind of rely on that. You kind of think, you know, until I retire, you know, if I don't literally, you know, screw myself, I should hold this job.
No, this was not a minimum wage pay kind of job. No, this was
definitely
this
not.
Was, right. This was people with college degrees that went off to advance the education that was needed. You had accountants, you had, chemists, and you had so engineers, and I mean, and the list goes on of degree holders. I know someone personally who just relocated his family from Nassau less than a month, hired to come to PharmaChem to work in a department, and now he's out of a job, you know. It's a lot. It's a lot. I don't think the management may have known of its challenges and has been doing all that they can, I believe, to work through them. I cannot be that bohemian that throw management under the bus, because I'm in management, and I'm an owner of a company. And nobody, no owner of a company in their right mind would invest this level of money with the knowledge of knowing I can close down before I could even comp some of it back, you know. It is sad. It pains me. PharmaChem didn't directly impact me as a company, but I'm sure in some way, somehow, those who worked there, supported businesses that I'm affiliated with and businesses that I own. And at the end of the day, it provided good jobs for qualified Bahamians and non-qualified Bahamians, because there were work there for everyone. And PharmaChem over the years have just been that quiet company that has stayed out of the media, stayed in their corner and did what they had to do to the best of their ability.
And they helped so much in the community as well, and
quietly. Because for me as a little boy, PharmaChem field was our soccer field and our baseball field for years before the government could have provided us with a sensible one. You know, living Hawksville and walking to PharmaChem to wash cars to those same employees that have been there for so many years. It's sad, and I just hope for better for it, and something can eventually sooner than soon come forth and be able to reopen PharmaChem.
But in the same capacity, or are you using the facility for something else? Or is it going to be tried, or are they trying, or whoever has it is trying their best to continue it with a pharmaceutical company?
Well, I know that the plant has been designed, from my understanding, to provide a certain drug that can be used for a certain disease. And I think that plant is designed for that. I don't know the full ins and outs, whether it can be transformed into something else in terms of a different, but, it is a disease, from my understanding, that is still rampant and still needs that level of drug. And so don't know the full ins. I think Sarah might be able to tell us more. I don't know, but that's where that.
Wow. And I
have very good friends who work there, and, I've asked them themselves, and, you know, they don't want to say anything. They're very sad. And, a lot of people who were living here from abroad who came to work, they've had to go home. It's a great company, and they struggle a lot with what's happened, but no one's given me any guideline. I haven't asked if it can be transformed to produce another drug, which is a very good question. I mean, they're very technical in their field. They have to make these specific batches. I believe they have to be kept at, a certain temperature, and then it has to work. Then they have to produce, and I presume it's a lot of quantity they have to produce as well. So I don't know, and I'm hoping for the owners and for the people there that maybe something will come. We got to think positive, because it's a huge space and a huge part of the industrial group that's here in Grand Bahama, of which we're well known for. So, yeah.
And how do you know, Jeff, just something that Sarah said that, you know, whilst we're debating talking about the 100 plus jobs that was lost, you know, she said they were, their friends, you know, that had to have left the island. So you know what that means? They were paying rent. So those apartment complex that they would have been in, and when they may have had a 1 year lease, you know, now they have to break it. Some of them might be understanding and allow them not to pay penalty. I believe some of them may have had rental cars. That now interferes with the grocery stores. And not only, again, PharmaCamp is a big loss for the GBPC, but all of those apartments now become vacant is, again, another loss for the GBPC, which trickles down to us who remains on the grid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got some text coming in. Good day, Naughty. There's something the government knows but is not telling us about PharmaCamp. PharmaCamp had one customer. A single customer is always a bad idea for a business that operated in a country with high operating costs.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Good day. I'm from Nassau. What does PharmaCamp produce? Could it be repurchased?
Repurposed, yeah.
Or repurposed to research and produce medical-grade Bahamian bush medicine or marijuana? I got text. My text is all over the reservation today. They come from all angles.
Yeah, so, well, I'm keeping hopeful that it can be repurposed, and I think everybody needs to work together. And this is something Darren alluded to in his comment earlier about the administration and how things go to that. But before we get to that, I just wanted, and I do want to put Pollyanna hat on and say two good things. We do have some good news. Sunwing is doing very well for us on the island, and it was fantastic to read that one of our former our hotels that had refurbished, Viva Fortuna, a lot of people know it as, hit 90% occupancy, and it's been really busy. That's a Canadian flight that's coming in, and they're looking to do more flights here, which is great for Grand Bahama, for hopefully when we have a new airport. I digress on that part.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, but I know we're
coming to that. And we also had a great visit by the Governor General, and I was very pleased that she did a lot more, not just a visit to the RAND, which is an annual visit. She also went to the Justice. She went and visited various homes on the island, which was great as well. And then I want to hit the big story that I know Darren's waiting for me to get to, which is we ran a story about the Grand Bahama Shipyard assuring that the safety pipes that they have put in for their $600 million start of their expansion, they've assured us that they are safe and that the roadworks are being properly taken care of. Now, I know Darren has a lot of comments on that, so I want to let him speak to that next, if I could, Naughty.
Now, quick, before you get into it, either going to answer this or maybe Darren, is the road still a hazard, though, with what we talked about previously?
I've had a call from two persons from the street that this pipe is indeed safe. First of all, let me make it very clear, Naughty, that I don't have any objection to the expansion. I am very much aware of what this pipe is designed to be used for. My problem that I have as relates to the overall system, that the way that it's been designed or the way that it's set up, not that the pipe is not safe, but the area that the motoring public have to use. It's not a two-way street going and coming. It's a single lane. And when you look at the big, heavy trucks, they themselves run the fare of driving on their side comfortably because the whole system, half of a mile or three quarters of a mile, they don't feel comfortable driving on their proper side because it's a tight area. The way they design it or the way that they put it up, they put everything to the mouth of the road. There's no swerve off. There's no room to pull to the side, three quarters of a mile. And that's the concern. And then two, the legs of the pipe pushing sludge from one side of the road to the next is being held together at this point. No sludge has started to pump, but at this point are being held together with trailer scraps, the yellow scraps that comes on trailers. And the bottom leg is not bolted down to anything concrete, whether it's temporary or not. And so at the end of the day, all developers or companies like this should make sure that all aspects of their project meets the required code and standard, not just for themselves, but for the people that have to work around it. And that is the issue that I don't live 8 Mile Rock. I do not have to use the road for no reason. If I use it, it's by choice. It's not by force. And so it's so many residents and the largest settlement. There's so many residents that have the concern. And it's so sad that the company who's doing the dredging and who's responsible for the project does not see the need to bring these written statements. And listen, if this project was satisfying to the port, they would have made it clear in their press release on Monday.
Right.
And their press release did not say that it's safe, that we are still working through the process, which means they cannot give a stamp of approval to this project, but I guess the developers feel comfortable to say so. And again, this is the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and I refuse, I mean, hey, I have no objection to refuse to give a thumbs up to the foolishness that I see 3 miles going into 8 Mile Rock. Can't do it. Not now, until I see better. And guess what? Work is continuing. They're not interested in any upgrades. They're not interested in making the road more safer. None of that is being done or being shown. They said it'll come. It'll be done. I guess when. But I encourage them to put a flat rock trailer on that road and let 2 flat rock trailers drive through the same time and let them see the way the traffic will flow if that happens. And this is the road that they traverse on. Wow. And dump trucks have to use this road to get to the only area for
people. That's a lot of tonnage on that road, though.
Huh?
That's a lot of tonnage on the road.
A lot of tonnage and a heavy traffic road that those who have to use it are crying that they are not comfortable having to be forced to work with what they're working with. And again, Darren Cooper is not objecting to progress. I want them to make it safe for those that have to use the road. Make it make sense, man. It don't make sense, Naughty. The whole system don't make sense.
No, I mean, I'm still wondering why there should be an issue with safety. I mean, safety is priority in these kind of things. If you're risking the greater community where you're setting up the operation, God forbid how it's going to pan out while you build said construction site. And finish that project.
My request to the Port Authority on Monday was one simple request. One, I asked them for one thing. And all I asked them to do is to give the motoring public that they are satisfied with what is going on in that three quarters of a mile of traffic block off that they have to deal with. And they could not do it fast, Naughty. They could not give a stamp of approval. Ministry of Works, in my communication and in my talks with the officer in charge, still have concerns and still feel that more needs to be done to make sure that the area is safer for the motoring public. And if the Ministry of Works or the Grand Bahama Port Authority Building and Development Department cannot give this approval and thumbs up, that warrants concern. And if it was any other Bahamian doing something outside of the approval process, the Grand Bahama Port Authority would have put a stop order on the project until the satisfaction has been done. 2 meetings and nothing has changed. 2 meetings. On Tuesday night, I received a video where the tower lights all went off, so the area was even dark. Because someone probably forget to put diesel in the light towers. There's 2 light towers that's being lit up and being used whenever they have diesel in it. That is a blinder to the traffic because it's in mirror sight. And so you got 4 bright lights coming to you when you're going through this tunnel, blinding you, that runs a safety risk. We voiced that concern and nothing to date. Today now making 9 days later, nothing's done with it. So do they really care? And that's my concern. And so I can't, Sarah, give the thumbs up that I may need to give or want to give. I still have plenty of concerns on this matter. And I really want
those
in position to understand that it is their responsibility to make sure that the community that have to embrace this feels comfortable and feels safe at all times. And again, I stress, the largest settlement in Grand Bahama, heavy, the only area for you to get sunscreen, P-Rock, the only area for you to get to C-Max, the only area to get to container port, the shipyard has their items going in, you have big buses dropping. Put that whole system together and you tell me what you come out with. Tell me what you come out with. And if you're, and none of them are prepared to be able to give us what it is that we need. None of them. And that's where we are now as a people. And so we're calling on them to make it more safe and user-friendly. It's not.
I mean,
it's not.
Wow. I mean, how long can they ignore you guys? I mean, obviously, they know the crux of the matter is you guys rely on them for what you need done.
No, they started this project. The press statement on the project went on the 4th of January. The completion, they say, for the pipe over the road would have been by the 6th of January. When I got wind of this would have been the 8th of January. And like I told them, you know, I don't live in this area. I received 287 WhatsApp messages complaining about this pipe across the road. And I was trying to figure when I opened my phone, because I didn't touch it for 24 hours. When I opened the phone, I was trying to figure out what is all of this message? Who did Grand Bahama or what happened around the world that I, for the first time in my life, got this amount of messages. And then I realized after going through 10 messages, I realized 10 of these messages are saying the same thing, sending me the same video and the same pictures. I took it upon myself to reach out to everyone in authority to find out what is this? What's going on? When did this happen? Nobody who sent me, the 287 persons who sent me the WhatsApp messages, had a press release or a press statement. I received it the Monday the 8th from the chief consular in the city of Freeport, Ms. Gibson, who sent me the press release. Oh, you didn't see this? No. So clearly, if I didn't see it, who they considered to be a part of the press, the public didn't see it. And that's where we continue to drop the ball in passing on the necessary information that is needed. This is unacceptable, and we cannot sit idly by, or we're going to wait, just like the government will wait, when something happened in Nassau to some big-time person, then we can take crime serious. But when something happened on that road to someone of quality and class, then we can say, we were saying that long, and they're going to respond. I think it's time for them to respond now. Time for them to put the same level of energy and effort that they're putting into this project to put it back into making sure that what the Port Authority promised me on the 9th of January in a conversation with the technical department, they said that the cones and the rocks and the pipes would be pushed back 8 feet. It was pushed back a feet and a half. And they say in their report, the Port Authority wow. said in their report that it's 3 feet pushed back. And they lied. It's a feet and a half pushed back from the road because I went there measured myself. Okay, it's not 3 feet, and it's almost 2 feet on one side. And when they shuffled from one side came over. When they had the 2 feet, they now have the feet because they gave it to one side. And so it's just unacceptable. I can't accept it. I refuse to accept it. Something needs to be done, and needs to be done before a life is lost worrying about money. That's where we drop the ball. We worry about money rather than saving lives and the safety of someone's life.
It's a lot of to do with signage. Darren said I should go out and have a look at it, and I did do that, Darren. And it just needs signage in it. And for me, it's more worrying at night. And, you know, it really needs to make sure that it's lit up and that it's easily visible. But I am worried about that piece on the side, and we do need to get this sorted out ASAP. It's there for 8 weeks. I wish I understood what the construction was actually happening. I presume they're taking stuff from the harbor and dumping it into the other side of the land. I don't even know exactly what's going on. I wish I knew a little bit more about that as well, and the environmental part of that as well.
Let me say also, too, that because Sarah brought it up, and I wasn't going to bring it up, right? But Sarah brought it up. And here's another concern that people in in communities right beyond the Queens Highway bush. So you got the Regency Park and Hawksville and all North Bohemia and the back of town. So here's what they're doing. They have a pipe that's now running from the Freeport Harbor that as they dredge, we understand that the harbor needs to be dredged to accommodate what is going to be done at the shipyard. So they have created now some, I would say, a little over a couple hundred acres of land. I may be exaggerating on the amount of acres, but from the Fishing Hole Road, the back of the old distribution building, all the way up to Elnett entrance, go all the way back almost to Queens Cove. They dig out the guts of that bush. You can't see it unless you stop and look high because they didn't come all the way to the road. They left. So they eat out that bush, that gut, and now they're going to pump into that pipe. They're pumping what they call slush. So the mud and the salt water that's going to be coming from the harbor is going to go into what they call the slush pool. So now we have couple, well, acres of land. Yes, we understand that the land is owned by the Freeport Harbor, but it's going to be now slushed into this area. So by March, April, I presume that this project will be finished slushing and there's slush now. The question is, what's going to be done with it? Where it's going to go when you put it there? How long is going to be there? Will it be there during hurricane season? All these questions not being answered by these developers and these people who have the responsibility. So again, we're asking these questions, but not getting any answers. All you're doing is saying, this is what's going to be happening with the pipe, and this is where it's going to go. What's going to be done with it afterwards? Is it going back to the harbor? I doubt it will, because that's why it's being pumped out, to not go back into the harbor. But it's going into this pool at no risk or concern in the possible threat of a disaster to Grand Bahama. So the people of North Bohemia, back of town, Regency Park, Hawksville, and these surrounding communities, gone from worrying about salt water to now worrying about salt water and mud. And again, people are still complaining about other things that are happening in the industrial area. And so no one's saying nothing. No one. Oh, the road is safe. No, it's not safe. Because Sarah, I told Sarah, I said, Sarah, don't take my word, but go see it. You don't have to believe me. You go see it and then you come back and tell me what you think. And if she has these, I would say, minor concerns, imagine those who have to use it daily, who see what Sarah may not have saw whilst using that road, may not have embraced the 5 o'clock traffic hour, may not embrace the 7:45 to 8:30 traffic hour, dealing with these heavy equipment throughout the day. There's more questions than answers as being provided because of this project. And we endorse the jobs that this project provides. But at the end of the day, we cannot play Russian roulette with people's investments and people's lives. Because at the end, when the shipyard expansion takes place and the people who surround these things are embraced and go through its challenges, shipyard won't be nowhere around.
No.
They're gone.
And somebody suggested, what about... ask John if it would be cheaper for them to run the pipe on the road and make a ramp for cars to travel over.
Well, we were told when that question was asked, we were told by the Ministry of Works that they denied the application for it is the only road to the Western District of Grand Bahama, and she didn't want the road to be cut.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm getting from my producer. It is that time, 5 o'clock on the news, so we got to get to the news. But I want to thank you guys for chiming in. Very thorough today. Not that you always are, but a lot of topics that people have chimed in on. And I'm sure, we'll pick it again. I'll pick it up again next Tuesday. I'm sure we'll have some more questions pertaining to that and other things going down there in Grand Bahama.
We need to talk. Grand Bahama is very upset about the boat feed. I know that's
a big subject. Oh, we could talk about boat feed. That might be Friday's show because I got some other anglers out there kind of upset about that as well, too.
Boat feed, Grand Bahama is also up in arms as relates to the government position now on the Grand Bahama Port Authority. We need clearer understanding and we need a dialogue because we don't trust what government sometimes say. We need them to be clear.
Well, we already know we're talking about on Tuesday, then.
Yeah.
You all enjoy the rest of your week. Be safe. Have a great weekend. Always appreciate your contributions.
Glad your back is doing better,
man. Me too. Glad I'm back too. All right. You all have a great one, man. And we'll get to the news. Flip side of the news. We'll be talking sports in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't touch it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The new KFC Nuggets have arrived. That unlike the no-gets, ours are handmade using 100% white meat, unlike the no-gets. At KFC, we hand-bread every day to achieve the perfect flavor. After you try our delicious and crispy nuggets, in the original recipe, you'll never settle for less. KFC, the real nuggets. It's finger-licking good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We are now inviting passengers on board for the new JetBlue CIBC First Caribbean credit card. Earn up to 30,000 bonus TrueBlue points with your first transaction and earn on everyday purchases. Plus, get up to 10,000 anniversary bonus points every year after. Please fasten your seatbelts and prepare for takeoff. Visit cb.com/JetBlue for more information on where blue can take you.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Hi everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Refined style with elegant taste, and fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style is your place, is your place, is your place.
On the Wednesday, January 17th edition of Talking Heads, we're into the 5 o'clock hour. We're talking sports. 5:15 p.m. is the time. And Pearlie should be zooming in. We got Pearl? Pearl in the building? Yes, Pearlie's in the building.
Yeah, man.
So it's Wednesday. So, you know, yeah. I guess we got to start it off like we always do.
Today in sports.
Yes, because it's happy hour out there at Naughty Johnny's. Be sure to check them out 5 to 7 for happy hour. Great highballs, great food specials going on. Give them a call, 377-7776. See what they got going on for you. Happy hour, 5 to 7. Well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza each and every time at Naughty Johnny's. All right, on this day, January 17th in sports history, 1916, the Professional Golfers Association was formed in New York City, the PGA. 1963, Wilt Chamberlain of the San Francisco Warriors scored 67 points against the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll take it. It just says Los Angeles, but I'm saying that's probably the Lakers.
It was the Lakers.
1972, Roger Staubach and Bob Greasy appeared on the cover of Time magazine. I don't think we're going to see Doc and Tua on the cover of Time magazine anytime soon. Will we, Pearly?
No, not right up to now. Maybe another year.
1989, Al Arbor won his 600th game as a coach in the NHL. In 1995, the Los Angeles Rams announced that they would be moving to St. Louis. And now, ironically, where are they again now, Pearly? Back in Los Angeles, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Los Angeles. And don't know where they want to be.
1996, Stevie Eiserman, or Wiseman, of the Detroit Red Wings, became the 22nd player in NHL history to score 500 goals. 1999, the Atlanta Falcons beat the Minnesota Vikings to advance to the Super Bowl for the first time in team history. 2002, the city of Los Angeles had Muhammad Ali Day. And sports quote of the day, nobody climbs the mountains for scientific reasons. Science is used to raise money for the expeditions, but you really climb for the hell of it. So Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah, that's one thing I won't be doing.
Nope. I mean, I never was
on my bucket list.
Nope. Not me neither. I'll pass on that one there, Pearly.
If I climb a mountain, it can be that. Anyway, let's move right along.
We can leave it just like that, and trust me.
I was on radio.
To those Wuthering Heights, are they up early?
Yep. So how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Right? I'm good.
Bro, you pass here shouting all kind of slurs at me and didn't stop for your T-shirt.
I can get it. We was on a school run coming home, and then you fired out that real hard and fast, you know.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get to it before Sancho shouted out to me.
Yeah, you know that was coming. But anyway.
Yeah, I know that was coming. But you know, a couple of friends, a couple of people called to ask if you okay. I say, yeah, naughty good, man, naughty good.
The back is you know, Father Time is undefeated.
I don't think they're talking about the back part, but anyway, we'll go with that story. Never mess up a good story with the facts.
Yeah, no. I got it. Ain't nothing to do with the Cowboys. They ain't going me to mess no work, now, Jim. You think doctor's calling, give me some of his money when he throw interceptions and costs us the game?
Exactly like he.
No, sir. So, I don't get caught up in that run. Not in the least. They take it to heart. You got to let that go.
Stephen A. Smith had a field day. He had a collage of different people crying and stuff. I'm like, come on, man. It's a game.
It is. But listen.
Don't work yourself up too much.
We got to check the local sports scene real quick. And, you know, it's brought to you, of course, by Burger King. And it's Whopper Wednesdays. And don't forget, if you needed to have reasons for why Whoppers are better on Wednesdays, don't miss out on enjoying a classic Whopper and fries for only $5.95 at any Burger King Nassau location.
Oh, I tried the rodeo thingum off the chin.
I tell you, get it done right at Burger King. So be sure to check them out on Whopper Wednesdays. Whopper and fries, only $5.95 at your favorite Burger King Nassau location. And let's have a gander at the local scene. Big headline, Adderley signs with the Mets, second Bahamian to sign out of I-Elite in this signing period. I-Elite always doing a great job. And Bahamian Bo Adderley is the new signee, the latest signee to the New York Mets organization.
We had a couple of signs with the Red Sox, eh?
Right, and through the Max D program, the 6'3", 180-pounder is very versatile with the ability to move around the infield at various positions. And can be shared time between the Freedom Farm Baseball League and the JBLN League, Junior Baseball League in Nassau, in his formative years. And about 4 years ago, he began his journey with I-Elite. Adley is only 17. He bats and throws right-handed. And he doesn't know his immediate assignment as yet, but he's said to be looking forward to the journey and looking to reach the majors in the shortest time frame possible. A total of 9 Bahamians have played in the majors in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
So there's another one there. I'm very happy for him.
I'm happy for him when these kids do it, man. Him, and the next thing got me excited is the kid, the high school basketball
player. VJ Edgecombe. He commits to Baylor.
I'm excited about him. Man,
Bahamian High School. Bahamian basketball player and five-star player Valdez VJ Edgecombe committed to play for Baylor University Bears in Waco, Texas on Sunday. Baylor, great Division I college basketball program. He made the announcement live on ESPN2, surrounded by friends and family at the Hoop Hall Classic on Sunday, where his Long Island Lutheran High School out of Brooksville, New York, were in action. Baylor has a winning culture, a great staff, and head coach. Scott Drew is a genuine person. He has built an incredible program. Edgecombe said there was a deep connection with Baylor. They have a strong foundation of faith, and there was also a spiritual connection. That was so important to me. He wow. brought out three schools, Duke. So he wasn't recruited by just anybody. Recruited by Duke, the Blue Devils, the Duke University Blue Devils, the yeah. University of Kentucky Wildcats, Calipari.
Okay.
And Baylor. So, no, this kid was not being recruited by chopped liver, okay?
No, he's getting better. That's the best of the best.
He was recruited by the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop.
Amen, I say amen.
He was the final top 10 recruit to commit to a school and the highest recruit to commit to Baylor to sign since signing the number 3 recruit, Isaiah Austin, in 2012. He is the third ESPN 100 prospect in the 2020 class to join Baylor, with the other two being Kaysen Samota, 29th, and Robert Wright, the third, 37th.
Wow.
And he was quoted as saying, on my visit, it felt like home. What happened? They had Kong salad and macaroni.
I tried to figure that one out.
Yep. And this was a visit in October of 2023. I got a feeling in my heart, and I just knew I loved their environment. So if he's happy, I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to him doing big things at Baylor.
The good thing about it is we get to see him play a lot because Baylor always on TV.
Always.
I don't get to see, you know, we have a Damon in Wisconsin. I don't get to see him play too often because you don't see Wisconsin that much.
But Baylor and Wisconsin are both regulars in Battle for Atlanta, so maybe during their collegiate careers over the next couple of years, we'll get to see them in action here at home.
Cool. Yeah.
And speaking of more Bahamians, Bahamian collegiate swimmers get into the pool. Bahamian collegiate swimmers from the Howard University Bison were in action this past Monday. Thank God they have a pool to get into.
Amen.
And they did that thing on Martin Luther King Day. The Bison went up against the Townsend University Tigers in their home pool at the Bird Gym in Washington, D.C. Bahamians competing for the men were Jack Barr, Luke Kennedy Thompson, and Mark Anthony Thompson.
Interesting. HBCUs get into swimming. That's really good.
And on the women's side, Bahamians, Zaylee Elizabeth Thompson and Kalia Aubrey were in action. Yeah. So they did a great job. And it was senior That's day, so Mark Anthony Thompson and Aubrey were honored.
That's wonderful.
Mark Anthony silvered in the 50-yard breaststroke with a time of 25.87.
That's great.
Good stuff there, man. Good stuff there. Glad to see our local kids doing big things abroad in all sporting disciplines.
I always tell them, let them swimming, them arms and legs get you the scholarship and your brains to get you the degree.
Indeed. Let's go to the folks who's on the line. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this? Talking Heads.
Guardian Radio is talking away so long as you're naughty.
Hey, what's going on, Bremen?
I'm holding, thank God. We need justice, law, and the Bahamas here. Well, what I call you to tell you, right? To ask you, right? You got me sort of get you ready for me?
Man, I got to get that number. I didn't get the number. Did you leave it with him yesterday?
Well, nobody went out. See, I
can make sure he puts you on hold now, so don't hang up. When
okay,
I come off
no,
the phone with you, don't hang up,
day.
and he'll get the number from you, all right?
Okay.
But I got you covered, man.
Okay, good. So, Naughty, before you go, right?
Go ahead, brother.
Well, I should ask you this off air. But anyhow, I should ask you this
If you think you should ask it off air, ask it off air.
Okay, good.
All right, just hold tight, man, and my producer will get you info, all right, Raymond?
Okay.
And don't bust no corn. Make sure to get Bremen, Mr. Producer. I think, Bremen, if it got dropped, call back, and Mr. Producer will get the number from you, all right? Boy, Pearly, as we get into who's in and who's out, all brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. Be sure to check them out. Flagship store over there on Mackey Street, open until 6. And then you got the JFK location open until 7. Be sure to check them out, man. Big up Chef Calmer and the crew, call on and the gang. Always doing big things at Tropical Gyros. Listen, as we get into the international scene, all right? Uh-huh. Something popped up. Something I was going to mention to you.
The Indiana Pacers trade?
Well, that
Siakam goes to that. That's a big trade.
Siakam is a big trade, yeah. He is definitely.
I was surprised he ended up there.
Yep. I'm surprised Buddy Hield is still in Indiana.
Well, maybe that's a sign.
But right now, like I say, I'm most disappointed. I still haven't gotten a McCarthy firing yet for the day.
You know what? I tell you this, Naughty. Somebody, Troy Aikman doesn't think he's going to be fired.
I heard that too, and I was like, Troy, what are you saying? Well, I get it. If he's going through, the darn Jason Garrett syndrome, where Jerry's going to keep him there because he's such a yes man, then
no, that's not it. The argument that Aitman was putting up is that at 81, he don't want to go through this reorganizing, going to a whole new coaching staff, blah blah, all that stuff. I said the person who responded said, I don't think that's a good reason not to get rid of
him. No, they got to get rid of him. I mean, if that's the case, you want to go through all of that. Through all of that process and just bring in Belichick.
Ugh.
I'm just saying, that's the one who could grab that and go.
I don't know why some people think, but I don't think Belichick is a good fit for Dallas. I honestly don't think so.
Listen, it's not like I tell the Cowboy chat groups over and over. It's not what me and you want, you know. It is who Jerry Jones decides to pick. It's who Jerry wants. And with that being said, Jerry going to get who he wants. Me personally, I would go the route of Mike. And bring in Flores, like I told you, from Minnesota as the defensive coordinator. And then find you an offensive coordinator either who could continue the philosophy of Mike McCarthy. And that would be Schottenheimer, who's there already. Brian Schottenheimer. Keep him in-house and run the same system for Dak.
Uh-huh.
And Belichick could have his contributions on both sides. The offense, I mean, Vrabel could have his input on both sides. But, you know, the team would play hard, it would be focused, and Vrabel would hold them accountable. He's come from that Patriot tradition. He knows how to win. He could get them over the hump. And he's young, so he could go to battle with these young, hotshot head coaches and do that thing. The problem I have with Quinn becoming head coach if they get rid of McCarthy, everybody affiliated with him in Atlanta, all right, if you look at it, out there, Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, Shanahan, obviously, in San Francisco, McVay in Los Angeles with the Rams, LaFleur with the Packers, and there's one or two bouncing around elsewhere in the NFC that know how to beat the brakes off him from his days in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So much so, that's why he went to zone defense. So he peed his pants when LaFleur was coming in. He didn't tell anybody, but switching to zone defense let LaFleur know everything he needed to know.
Yep.
So as far as I'm concerned, Dan Quinn, go ahead on to Seattle.
Oh, the Seahawks. No, he just reminded you he was calling to be your head coach next year.
Yeah, but guess what? What's the point of hiring him? That was prior to that information. When that information was revealed to me and I did the research, Burley, why hire him if he can't beat the dudes who are going to be in front of you on a regular basis?
Point.
So therefore, i.e., you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think we want to go that route. I'm just saying, I don't think that's a smart idea.
All right. That's fine with me. I mean, you know, we don't have that issue. My issue is trying to figure out how you get under this $40 million salary cap.
Yeah, that's your problem. We got some idea.
I know for sure Xavier Howard didn't get cut.
I think so.
The money we paying him, the brother ain't give us 6 games all year. What I paying him $20 million a year for? But I could get somebody for $6 million and give me just as good a play.
There you go.
So he's gonna, when I cut him, he's gonna save me like $14 million. What's really bothering me is Armstead is talking about retiring. If he retires, that's another $13 million hit. I'm gonna have like a $56 million salary cap. They're trying to talk Armstead into beating. Let me cut him.
It's a big blow if they get rid of him.
Yeah. So you know what my number one pick can be. Left tackle,
best in the business.
Yep. You know what my number one pick would be this year, left tackle for sure.
Yep. The best coming out of the draft.
Yeah, but you know, Miami got to make some decisions, some more, because you still got to pay Christian Wilkinson, and he wants $15 to $20 million. I'd rather give him Howard money.
Boy, what you could do though if you lose Howard? You only got Ramsey there.
Yeah, but we haven't had Howard all year. So what do you mean what I could do? Same thing we're doing all year. Fine, we just got to find a decent veteran cornerback and draft one and get a decent veteran cornerback to hold the fort till the rookie ready.
Wow.
That's what you do.
And you talk about me being cold.
No, listen, Howard is one of my favorite Dolphins, but I am a Dolphin first and a Howard fan second.
Okay.
So the bottom line is you got to look at the side. You owe your $40 million over the cap. You're going to, you know, you got to figure out how to cut this money, and there's only one or two things you can do to cut the money.
Which are?
Cut him to save $14 million.
Right.
And then as I forget who's the next player, we're talking about cutting to save another $14 million or $13 million. And if you cut Armstead, that's $13 million you get. So that's the $40 million right there you save. If you add all that up with the rookie monies you got, it's about $45 million you need to cut.
There you have it. You've broken it down.
The good thing about it is with rookie contracts, there's only X amount of money you got to pay.
That's true. And then you got the option, too, if you want to access
it. Yeah. But at a certain, you know, we're not drafting that early. So it's not going to be picking a number one or two pick where you got to give them the big money like you got, like other guys will have to do.
But I tell you, boy, we got a good Colin Cowherd taking us home today. Final 15, we got him talking about Gerard Mayo and the importance of him being the next head coach of the New England Patriots. And then is Tua holding the Dolphins over a barrel?
Nah, we're going to be all right. And the thing about it is, he's going to be all right. He's not holding. I'm confident with Tua, and I don't want Tua to go anywhere else. Because we're going to lose Frank Smith anyway, the offensive coordinator. He's probably end up in Carolina.
That's what I'm hearing. He's out of there, too.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this quick question off the text line. Naughty, Pearly, is the Lakers looking to make a trade and say LeBron is in the package? No, LeBron's not going to be in the package, but they're looking at some trades.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. When who's in and who's out, and we started and it slipped my mind. And it's back at me. Guess how many games the Lakers have won since winning the in-season tournament? Two. Not ties them with who? The Detroit Pistons.
And Oklahoma Thunder. But Oklahoma Thunder got the best record in the best, so that's a big win.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this? Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Listen, let me ask you a question.
I got Pearly here, too.
Yeah, Pearly. Good afternoon. Listen, I'm a big Dolphins fan.
Okay, go ahead.
I think we need to get rid of Tua. Tua seems to be, like, he's getting intimidated in big games, man. It's like, I don't know, he's look fearful or something. You know? And I think we need a good running back, too. Isn't Barkley from New York and what the guy named from the Titans?
Henry. Backup.
Are they available?
Backup.
Aren't they available?
Why do you say we need running back?
I mean, we got Uchan or whatever his name is, right?
Uchan,
we
can keep him, but
we need a big gruesome running back, man.
Nah, man. Them
you don't think backs. So?
No, we don't need no running back. We set running back.
Because you all also right, got Jeff set. Wilson as a backup, and you got another pretty decent running back there, too.
Who got hurt.
Who got injured. Got hurt. Yeah.
What do you think about Tua?
I can let Pearly answer first since he's a Dolphin, and then since all I'm right. a Cowboy, and I'm much better to answer with Dak Prescott as my quarterback. Yeah. But, I mean,
I'll go second.
Let's look at this. This year was Tua's first full year as a quarterback in the NFL. You had a weak offensive line that did not protect him, but yet he played all 17 games. Peyton Manning didn't have a better first 2 years.
Elway
did not have a great year. Eli did not have a great year. Plenty quarterbacks. Even Mahomes did not have a great year his first year. The brother got to grow. Now, if next year we don't see improvement, then I'll have an issue with it. But him being only his first, last year he played only, he missed a lot of games. Missed the last 6 games of the season. This year he put up good numbers. The offensive line failed, and we lost our center. We lost our backup center. We lost our left tackle for most of the games. We lost the backup left tackle for the games. We lost our right tackle for the game. Austin, our right guard, was out hurt. Our whole offensive line was hurt all season. We never had our complete offensive
line. Don't forget Connor Williams was gone, too.
Connor Williams, our center. So when you look at it, he had a lot of things going against him, and I can't judge him on that. I thought he put up good numbers. I thought he did well. When he sit in that pocket, he'd pick any team apart, and he's done that. He's learned, but if you're giving him less than 2.5 seconds to throw the ball, what you think will happen? He ain't gonna throw it accurate, he can have problems. If he had Philadelphia's offensive line, he would have been the Philadelphia. If he was on Philadelphia right now, Philadelphia probably would have still been in the playoffs.
Let me put it to you like this. I think that he deserves a new contract with Miami. I don't think Miami, like Dallas, and at this very moment, is going to find somebody to plug and play better than Tua. Just like for the next year, if we do go a new head coach, we're not going to change the quarterback. Dak will be there one more year, and then if we're not going to give him that extension, then the partner in other ways will come next year with him. So Tua's a little bit younger. I think Tua, this is his first contract. If you could get him in the 40 to 45 million range, that's palatable to you guys and palatable to him. It's not insulting. I don't think Tua should be thrown under the bus. If I'm just looking at it objectively, statistically, Tua was top five all year within the quarterback conversation. True or false, Purdy? We still got Purdy or we draw Purdy?
Tua was mentioned in the MVP conversation in the middle of the season.
Right, and his numbers are still up there. And didn't he lead the lead in passing?
He finished in the top one, top two, and top two, been in the top five at every position, and in the top two in some.
So he deserves the money. You're not going to find anything better out there at the moment. There is chemistry with him and the head coach. There's chemistry with him and Tyreek Hill. Nobody thought he could throw the deep ball to Tyreek, but last time I heard, Tyreek led the league in receiving yards and could have been on pace to 2,000. He didn't even get injured. So I don't think they should jettison Tua. I think they should enhance the pieces around Tua to make him hit his full potential, i.e. give him a line so he got opportunity to get the ball out. He's got a quick release anyway. Get him a few more pieces on offense. Get him some pieces on defense so he don't have to worry about scoring 100 points a game. And let McDaniel scheme up more schemes for him. I think McDaniel's going to do more things to scheme him up better in the future. I think he's a fan of Tua, and I think he knows as a head coach, I'm not going to get somebody to walk through the door better than him right now.
Exactly.
And you've invested a whole year teaching him the system. So
On offense, Miami really needs a tight end and a better slot receiver. That's it.
You all have a good tight end in Gesicki, and you all let him walk.
Yeah. Gesicki was not the person. We need a Kelsey-type person, a big, bruising, blocking, catching tight end.
Let's go to the phone. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Naughty. What's happening, Naughty?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Pearly?
My brother, how are you?
How are you, Mystery? Well, we haven't heard from you, man.
Mystery, yeah, I was giving you some time to get
no, up. No, we were giving you time. I appreciate that back situation, but we're in the same group. You can't say nothing to me. I can't say nothing to you.
Well, I totally agree because Buffalo owns us and Green Bay owns yours.
Right. And
yeah. And
Kansas City owns yours.
Well, I wouldn't say
but twice for the year, they own you. If Green Bay owns us, Kansas City owns you.
Well,
but nothing. They beat you twice in a year. If Kansas City beat you twice in a year, they own you.
No,
they bump you out of the playoffs.
No. I'm speaking of playoffs. Buffalo, Green Bay knock you all off three separate times in the playoffs.
Green Bay has won 10 out of 11 games against
Dallas.
That's
what I'm talking about, ownership.
And then
Green Bay own you all. I'm talking about regular season games. I'm speaking about pro season games.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Green Bay own y'all.
All right.
I want you to remember that, and you can check history now.
But you know, for them owning us, who got more Super Bowl? Who got more Super Bowls for them owning us, though? Answer that with such that you want to say that they own us. Answer
the
me
Cowboys.
That.
The Cowboys.
Okay, next question. Go ahead.
All right, so we're talking about quarterbacks. Three quarterbacks needs to leave. Dak Prescott, and I keep telling you, Dak Prescott is not a good fit for the Cowboys.
I don't know if you heard prior to you coming on the line, I said Dak is out of the next year. You're not going to find a good replacement this year, especially if we change the head coach. But next year, prior to extension, that's where the partner of the ways is going to come.
All right, so if you keep him, you're not going to get to where you want to go next season. That's simple. Tua has to go. I've always been an advocate. Tua has to go.
Who are you going to replace with Tua right now?
I'll go there. I'll play.
You're just going to lose.
You could go there and be a better quarterback than Tua.
And like you told me with Dak, we're not going to get him if we want to be next year. Then you're going to get him if you want to be next year.
Send Purdy to Dallas.
Whether you realize it or not, Tua is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Purdy, you know what we need? What we need defense. Miami don't have the right defense for any winning team. We need the Dolphins need defense.
We need defense. Which one is it?
Huh?
You say we need to get rid of Tua and defense. Right now, let me tell you this. Let me say this to you. The Dolphins are closer to a World Series, a Super Bowl appearance today with Tua than if you try to bring somebody else tomorrow. You bring somebody
No. They closer to a Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill, A-Chain, Mostert, and Waddle. Not Tua. Anyone,
yes.
Listen.
Yes. There's no quarterback available that could lead Miami better. None. What you want?
I honestly don't know what you want, Brandy, but I'd like to have some of that.
One thing I do is I realistic. See, I don't let emotions get in it. I'm mad because I lose. That ain't what it's about. Look at the team. Look at his statistics. Look at what he's done. His accuracy is probably one of the best. He's one of the best accurate passers in the NFL. You ain't get much better than him. His accuracy and his touch ain't much better than him.
Yeah, I still want to get rid of him. I personally want to get rid of him. Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia is overrated. That's another thing. Okay, so those three quarterbacks are questionable for those teams, to me.
You let these podcasters put foolishness in your head, you know.
You know, I watch sports. You know, sportscasters. I ain't interested in those sportscasters. I watch sports.
You need to get your eyes checked. Jalen Hurts is not overrated. Jalen Hurts played hurt this year. Why wasn't he overrated last year? But he overrated
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, he wasn't overrated last year.
Then he overrated now. Times change.
Because he was playing hurt.
Well, that's why he called Hurts. That's why he named that. Let him go.
One thing I don't do is allow the emotions. And I'm mad because my team lost.
My emotions is with my team, the Dolphins. We need defense. We need defense, and we need to get rid of Tua. That's it.
That ain't gonna help us because you get rid of Tua, you ain't got nobody to put there. You drop down to 5-12 then. That's what you want?
No.
All right then. So let's be real. See, you could say get rid of him, but my question is, who are you gonna replace him with?
We could find a quarterback.
Who?
What the fella name from Minnesota?
Who?
Who the quarterback name from Minnesota? Jesus, what do you name?
Kirk Cousins.
Nadi, what the quarterback name from Minnesota?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
Yes, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins.
Now I know you don't know what you're talking. I know you don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
And no, we can get him. Kirk Cousins over to what? None. Only you.
That's what you see. I see something different.
I'm telling you, there's no team in the world. If I get paid a big bucks, me and you do what we do. We can criticize, but there ain't no team in the world will ever get rid of Tua for a 30-something-year-old Cousins who doesn't finish.
Well, I know he could get us further than Tua could get us.
No,
I know that.
He couldn't get
first round knockout. Come on, man. He could get us further than that.
Listen. Tua knows that system. To bring Cousins in now to learn a new system at this advanced stage in his career is not the recipe for instant success. Yes, he may be able to process it. Yes, he may be able to learn the system as a veteran. But Tua has a year of actually running that offense, playing with those players, having the whole feel of that locker room, and the support of that team behind him. Not once did you see a player throw Tua under the bus this year.
If you really want to be honest, Tyreek Hill is the reason why we became sixth. The brother dropped two passes in a big game. He dropped two passes in two big games. Two in the end zone. So if you really want to look at who made the mistakes, and Waddle was nowhere to be found.
Now, you must understand. You must be honest now. One of those passes was perfect, and one was over Tyreek Hill's head. Way over. That one was perfect that he missed.
I'm talking about balls he had his hands on. I ain't talking about balls over his head, but he had his hands on a knee drop.
Anyway, you guys, I'm assuming we got to get to the break, and we got the final 15 coming up.
All right, Naughty. Good talking to you guys, but just remember, Naughty, I want you to remember this. Green Bay owns you.
And Kansas City owns you. And I own you because I just cut you. How about that? Pearly, let's get to the break. Flip side of the break. We got Cowherd take us home. They got the Tua discussion going on. And they got another, you know, big time discussion as well today. I think it'd be interesting, folks, here in the Gerard Mayo scenario in New England for all those Patriot fans who we can't hear from no more.
Look at that for them. They only tease the Dolphins for losing. I said you can tease the Dolphins for losing. You already make it into the playoffs.
Anyway, we're going to get to that break. Flip side of the break. Colin Cowherd will be taking us home. You got Pearly tomorrow in the chase. Got a great show lined up for you, and he'll answer all those Laker questions for you, mañana. I don't want to talk Lakers today. It's making me upset to my stomach. Anywho, have a good one, Pearly. We'll do it again tomorrow, my brother. Good stuff as always.
Yeah, my brother. Be good. If you can't be good, at least be careful.
And be good at it.
Amen. Amen.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Sunday only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what the
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play,
play Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
The new KFC Nuggets have arrived. That unlike the no-gets, ours are handmade using 100% white meat. Unlike the no-gets, at KFC, we hand bread every day to achieve the... You try our delicious and crispy nuggets in the original recipe, you'll never settle for less. KFC, the real nuggets. It's finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
All right, Julian Edelman, we look forward to it. Saw him on the rundown this morning, and I knew, all right, I got my guy, come in, deliver. He'll make some catch in a crowd, elevate the show. 12 years, 3 rings, Super Bowl MVP, should get into the Hall of Fame. So I want to play a bite from Robert Kraft. And he just told me a little story on Kraft I would have had no idea. I'll get to that in a second. You know, when you get a lot of rings and money, sometimes collaboration, people tend to work under Bill, not alongside. I kind of get that. You said Kraft, and it was interesting. I said, did you ever see Kraft around the facility? And you said...
Yeah, you know, Mr. Kraft, RKK, was around every day. He was at every team meeting in the morning. Him and Al would be at the top of the auditorium. And he'd be very quiet, but he would always be around, and you'd see him in the hallways, and he'd always have some kind of story. He knew everyone's name. He knows everyone's name. He's very, very involved and very in tune with the team.
Shocking to me that he was in every team meeting. So let's talk about Jerod Mayo. You know him. Mm-hmm. I said earlier today, I said, you know, D'Amico Ryans played, briefly an assistant, hitting a quarterback, it's all roses. You got the number 3 pick. If Drake May lands, all of a sudden... Tell me about Jerod. What don't I know? You tell me what you like.
Jerod, it was an instant, from the day I met him, a leader. Smartest guy on the defense side of the ball. He was kind of like, there was Vrabel that was always painted. I never played with Vrabel that everyone said, this guy's a genius. And then there was Mayo. And so he, X's and O's, the guy knew everything. He was always in the film room, you know. And I remember when I had to go and play defense in 2011, I would know my assignment. But before every single play, you know, Gerard would be dictating, talking to the defensive lineman, looking over back at the secondary guys, getting the check in play in call, getting the right play in call for the defense, that specific play. And I would look over, hey, Gerard, it's cover five. I got inside technique. Yeah, you got inside technique. So he's coaching me up. I just needed his justification because if Gerard said it, you knew it was right. And that's the kind of guy Gerard is. I'm really excited for his opportunity. You know, he took a little time away from football right immediately after his career ended, went worked for Optum. So he gained a little outside knowledge and experience, and it brought him back to football. And I'm just, he's going to be a good leader. He's got that foundation from Bill. But he also, he's a guy that's played in it, and he's going to be able to relate with these players a little better of this new player generation guy.
Yeah, and I do think there are sometimes it's not a fresh set of eyes, but in terms of relating to players, was your interpretation of Gerard not just singular? Everybody thought that.
Everyone thought that.
Loved him.
Everyone loved Gerard. Everyone knew Gerard. Gerard was one of the, you know, the leaders of the team. He was the leader of the defense when I was there. Him and Will Fork, you know, they kind of ran the show.
Oh, really?
You know, he and
Instantly, Bill buy in instantly.
Instantly. I mean, Bill loved Gerard. We used to call Gerard Belichick. Him and Dev are in that category. McCourty, you know, he always loved the defensive guys, and Gerard was very cerebral, and he could sit and talk and communicate with coach on the sideline to make adjustments right away, you know, from what he was seeing on the field, to be able to communicate that with the coach on the sideline. You know, a lot of times that's not always correct intel. We say, you know, don't come to the sideline on punt. Say, I'm double teamed. He's double teamed. That guy's double. Everyone can't be double teamed. The eye in the sky don't lie. You know what I mean? So right. To have a guy that can communicate on the field like he did was such a huge part of the reason why we had so much success on that side of the ball.
For Bill, Atlanta's out there. Philadelphia, is there a better fit for Bill?
I like Philadelphia for three reasons. One, players. They got some players. The players they need are on defense.
Right. Back end especially.
Yeah, that's Bill's forte. Two, location. It's an East Coast team. He's got family in New England. This guy's got a life in New England. You know, he's got grandkids and stuff there. You know, so that's a close trip. I can't, it's going to be hard to see him going to San Diego LA. And then three, the respect that he has for Howie Roseman. You know, Howie's beat him, you know,
in
Super Bowls, and Bill has a respect for people that do their job well. And there's a big misnarrative out there that Bill's kind of this guy that, you know, doesn't like to collaborate. I'll tell you one thing. Bill loves anyone that'll give him an information, a scheme, an idea, and he'll use it. But if you mess it up and it doesn't work that one time, you're done.
Yeah.
So that's but with a guy like Roseman, you know, this guy, he's got a resume, and Bill could work with that. I don't think Bill wants to go in and be the GM, but he's going to want an opinion,
sure,
with someone that he respects. And I think that would be a great fit for him. It just, with the whole Atlanta thing, I can't see
it Bill doesn't Belichick. Sound right.
It doesn't.
Atlanta Falcons, Bill Belichick.
But it does seem like a great destination because of the division you're in and the team they have.
And they have some good offensive pieces. He'd have to fix the defense.
He'd have to fix the defense, but you also need a quarterback. And this is a quarterback league, and he just, you know, he went through the young quarterback thing this last.
He's done.
I think he wants to find somewhere where he has a quarterback that he thinks he can play with, and go out and have a good team and put his culture in. And I think Philadelphia is a great great fit for that.
I want to talk about Philadelphia. If Tampa could catch, they would have blown them out in the first quarter. I mean, there were two balls dropped. Baker played well. What do you make of it? They're veterans here. These aren't like, if Green Bay would have gone out and just been upended, it's kids. This was a full team. Jalen Hurts kind of young. What did you make of it?
They had no juice. And it brought me back to my rookie year, 2009. We made the playoffs. We were playing division round. I don't think we got the first round bye. And we played the Ravens. And play one, 75 out the door. Ray Rice, touchdown. And you could just see we had no juice. They outplayed us. They came into our house, kicked our teeth in. And, you know, I was a young player at that time where I was more focused on my individual, what I had to do to make, you know, make myself useful and for the team, because we just lost Welker the week before. But looking back on it, you know, it felt that the team really didn't believe once we lost Welker that we were going to have a shot to go on to the Super Bowl run. And that's kind of how it felt with Philadelphia. They didn't have A.J. Brown. They didn't really feel like they were believing in what they were doing. They haven't had an identity all year. And it, you can't just, you know, close your eyes at night and think that what you were in the regular season is going to disappear right when the playoffs start. And they played, you know, the best team that they played all year in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they had a win and get in game the week before. That's a playoff win. And Belichick used to say that all the time when you go and play those teams that, you know, you're in that first round bye. This can be the best team you played all year because they got a playoff win. They've already sure. felt that pressure. And you know, you got to tip your hat to the Buccaneers, but Philadelphia, they just seemed like, you know, with the departure of the offensive coach, it really seemed that Sirianni was exposed this year.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like. So if you don't believe Green Bay was luck, and instead it was coaching schemes, great quarterback play, audibling, I watched that, and that was the dismantling. That was not like Dallas. It wasn't as much about Dallas. I think people think it is. I look at it and I think nobody's got three good corners in this league. And between Musgrave and all those receivers, Green Bay's a hard matchup.
Very hard matchup. This was the stereotypical go out and knock the bully out mentality that, you know, the Packers did this last week.
Good first quarter team too, by the way.
It all started when LaFleur took the ball. You know, and basically told his team that if we go down and we score on this first drive and we make this team come in and try to play from behind, which they don't like doing, and we all know that about the Dallas Cowboys, they don't like playing from behind. Then the defensive line doesn't get to do what they want. They don't get to have those exotic fronts and everything that they predicate on, you know, playing from a lead. That was the game. You know, LaFleur, you got to tip your hat to him and Jordan Love. I mean, this could be the first organization that goes back to back to back, you know, Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. I mean, we've only had two teams do it back to back, San Fran Packers before right. this. I mean, they might do it again. You know, to see his improvement over the year, I was so skeptical with his ball placement early on in the year.
He was erratic.
And then that was me with my media hat thinking. You know, me with my player, I had to put my player cap back on. I was like, wait, this guy's been around the league. Yeah, he should be better, but he hadn't seen real live bullets yet. You know, and he's got a young receiver group. And what you saw after about week four, five, six, you know, where they had that fork in the road, what kind of team are they going to be? You saw continual improvement. You saw reps, the reps that they were getting in the game, in practice. You saw that the ball location got a little better because they were probably learning each other in practice more. They were getting those reps. Scotty O'Brien used to say it all the time. You know, a play, whether good or bad, is a bit of experience. And those game reps that they were getting together early in the year, I mean, that molded them. And with their ability to believe within the system and the scheme and really believe in what the coaches were trying to get, and not get frustrated with how they were starting the season, you know, that's why they are where they're at.
Julian Edelman for our radio audience. So to watch warm weather Miami go to Kansas City, and yet Kansas City played one of their best offensive games. And you're a Midwest kid. You played in New England. I remember when Peyton Manning would go to Foxborough. It's on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Nance is talking. It's Phil Simms at the time. And they'd show, it'd be snowing in Foxborough. And I'm like, it's over. Dome guy, SEC guy. So when you were with the Patriots, did you sense sometimes, now not Baltimore, but were there moments you're like, they're not comfortable?
All the time. You know, anytime we were playing a team in weather, it didn't matter if the team was a cold weather team or not, we felt like we had an advantage. And that was because of how we prepared. I mean, you know, I think we talked about on this show last time, you know, Belichick would say, you know, we got to take advantage of this opportunity today when it's, you know, 35 mile an hour wind, snowing, minus 22 degrees at work on a Wednesday. We got to take advantage of this opportunity because it could potentially be that on a Sunday. And if we could make the situation as hard as possible in practice, game's going to be easy, you know, because you got heaters, you got all these other things, right. You know, so... Yeah, I definitely believe that. You know, Miami didn't have a shot. They were banged up. They didn't the way they had to win that game. They would have had to have some pressure on Mahomes.
Plus, and Tua's arm in that wind.
Yeah, I think it was more. Regardless, the defense didn't have it. I think Tua played decent. I mean, but Miami, there's no way they're going into Kansas City and winning.
Tommy. I always thought Brady was a great, it was his torque. I thought he was a great wind and cold weather quarterback. I remember one time you may not have been.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.